time since 1988.
Like Lazarus, he rose from the dead. Newt Gingrich with a huge win in South Carolina. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Welcome to the week. Boy, do we have a great hour for you here on ATN. It's not just politics. There's Joe Paterno dying and some people saying that he died of a broken heart because of the scandal that happened at Penn State, so there's reaction from that as well. Gabby Giffords resigns from Congress after being shot in the head just over a year ago. While she's doing pretty good with the recovery, she realized it'd be pretty tough to hang on to that office and do what she needed to do for the state of Arizona, and I applaud her for everything that she's gone through. And she will live to fight another day, I think, in politics somewhere, somehow. Some way. Plus, football. Who's going to the Super Bowl? Did anybody nail the score? We'll talk about that. And you can jump in on any and all of it. I am fond of saying, I don't care what your stripes are, right of right, left of left, in between, undecided, pushing for a third party. This is the overnight highway where we talk and have conversation, not just about spaceships, but about other things. 800-259-5791. So Newt Gingrich loved what happened in South Carolina, especially on the heels of his ex-wife's interview with ABC, where she said that Newt wanted an open marriage. Apparently, that didn't ding his chances in the Palmetto State. Here's what he had to say about South Carolina and moving on to Florida.
Anyone here who knows anyone in Florida, please contact them by sometime tomorrow, okay? If you want your children to have a life of dependency and food stamps, you have a candidate, it's Barack Obama. If you want your children to have a life of independency and paychecks, you have a candidate, it's Newt Gingrich. And I'll bet you we have votes everywhere.
All right, so let's break it down for you. Newt Gingrich had 40% of the vote when you had like 95 of the polling places reporting. The former Massachusetts governor, the odds-on favorite, the establishment guy that's been trotted out as he's the one, and anybody with a scorecard and a big name is endorsing him. So Mitt Romney got 27%. The former U.S. Senator Rick Santorum from Pennsylvania got 17%. How about Ron Paul? Because, you know, then there were four. Since John Huntsman and Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, decided to jump out of the race in South Carolina, only four were left in it. Ron Paul had 13%, still a pretty good chunk of the vote. He had some momentum. He certainly has some momentum, and there are people that are backing Ron Paul. But Gingrich was really the story. And you heard what his snarky comments there about what he had to say. I say snarky because that's part of the deal. Now it's about going after Obama, which makes sense. If he's, to me, the big problem with Gingrich is, why keep going after Romney, look down the road, and go after the ultimate prize? So he's turning a little bit in that direction to just do the Obama bashing thing in the road through these primaries. So Gingrich has a big surge, helped, I think, in part by two really strong debates in South Carolina. He certainly resonated with the men in South Carolina. That's where he got a lot of the vote. Charleston, it was, you know, kind of 50-50, where you have an influx of different people, not South Carolinians. Some, yes, but a lot of transplants, if you will. So this was big because now in this race, you have the Iowa caucus that ended up going to Rick Santorum. You have the New Hampshire primary that goes the way of Mitt Romney, and now Newt Gingrich takes South Carolina. So this is far from over. If you look at the beginning of the Republican primary system in 1980, it's the first time that three different Republican candidates have won these nominating contests, if you will, beauty pageants, in the first three places. Usually the winner of the South Carolina primary, which we've been saying over and over again, is the person who gets on the hook and ends up winning the Republican nod every election since 1980. So Romney was looking like the guy, the odds-on favorite. He had double-digit leads in most of the polls of likely voters in South Carolina. So talk about polls being way off. And like I said, he took a big bashing on ABC, and that didn't do anything to what happened to him in South Carolina. I think the debate performances, the mail vote helped him, and that's part of the reason why he was pushed over the top. But now what happens in Florida, because this is, becomes the next battleground state. Mitt Romney realizes that this thing moves on, and he also addressed the Gingrich win.
I want to congratulate, of course, Speaker Gingrich and my fellow Republicans on a hard-fought campaign here in South Carolina. We're now three contests into a long primary season. Our campaign has fought very hard here in South Carolina, and in the coming weeks and months, I'll keep fighting for every single vote. I will compete in every single state.
Yeah, how about that? So this thing keeps going. These primaries are going to keep on rolling. Florida and so on and so forth. Maybe all the way to Super Tuesday, beyond that. Originally, when the amount of candidates was a lot larger, when we were talking about in June with the very first debate in New Hampshire, it looked like this thing would play out through the spring. Now, I think it's almost definite that it plays out through the spring. Of all the people that are left, Ron Paul, Newt Gingrich, who just won South Carolina, we keep talking about that, of course, Mitt Romney, and Rick Santorum, if you're going to vote Republican or you're intrigued because you're independent or you're just thinking about who do I really want? Do I not want the guy at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue now? I don't want him in. So who would I vote for? Who do you like who's left? And is there a chance that there's somehow they could fracture the party? Somebody could come in at the last minute, let's say, and decide they want to dance too. That's not an impossibility, although it seems, I think, very unlikely. The name Jeb Bush keeps getting thrown out because there are people that like the idea and have fantasized about Jeb Bush since before his brother, G.W. Bush, won the White House. I mean, really, a lot of people thought that Jeb Bush was going to be the guy that was going to run and be president when he was the governor of Florida. That didn't happen. I don't think so. I talked to some Bush people, and I'm not getting that sense from them at all. In fact, I suggested that to someone when I was in Washington. They just kind of laughed, and they said, well, yeah, that's thrown around. It makes for an interesting conversation at a cocktail party. But I don't think so. Jeb is not going to do that. It's more a question of what could his role be, perhaps. So it's interesting. And a lot of people are paying attention to this. Even if, you know, even the people that are voting for Barack Obama are watching what's happening with the Republicans. You know, all eyes are on this. The debate that was on CNN on Thursday out of South Carolina, big numbers, over 5 million people watched. I think that's pretty big for, you know, the 17th debate on the Republican side. I think that's why these networks are climbing all over themselves to get the right to televise the debates wherever they are, you know, as they move from state to state or whatnot, because they realize, I mean, they're going to make money on it. They're having people watch these things and they play it over and over and over again. All right, coming up on the flip side, we'll still talk a little bit more about this political road to the Sunshine State, but also the passing of Joe Paterno next here on ATN. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Have heard, or you might not know, but I'll tell you, Joe Pa dead at 85, the legendary coach, of course, of Penn State, one of the most successful coaches in college football history. Remember, it ended abruptly for him not too long ago after all those allegations surfaced about the sex abuse scandal involving his former assistant, Jerry Sandusky, and the fact that he failed to respond, let's say, forcefully enough. Eventually, Penn State says he has to go, and he does. And here, not too long afterward, because remember, we're talking about November of last year. That's when he was fired. But he had been the coach forever. He had a lock on that job. 46 seasons leading the Nittany Lions. Some people say, you know, now dead at the age of 85, that part of what killed him is what happened at the tail end of his legacy with the sex abuse scandal and the fact that he, you know, that he just had enough. Here's the thing. He was diagnosed with lung cancer, and this was after the Board of Trustees voted to let him go. He was hospitalized in December after he broke his pelvis when he fell at his house in January, and it was just minor complications from the cancer treatments. So is it that he just didn't have the will? Was there something mixed in there? I'd say that he was also dealing with two very serious things. The question becomes, with all the players and generations of players and football fans and how he was admired until this crisis had happened, how much is his legacy tainted now because it's over? I mean, it's over for him on the earth. So how much is that legacy dinged? The Nittany Lions won two national titles. They went undefeated five times, just from the college record point of view. Finished in the top 25 rankings 35 times. If you look up any biography, you can get those statistics. And the program, and here's to me what was always so impressive about Joe Paterno before everything happened with the Sandusky scandal, that his program never, never went under the knife, so to speak, by the NCAA in sanction-wise for any kind of infractions, while you had 13 academic All-Americans since 2006. And this is the key. This is the key stat. 85% graduation rate. When the football factories that are out there, when you think of that, when you think of the kids that go to these schools, that get in, the teachers, they get basket weaving and they figure out a way to pass them or whatever. In his case, that was huge. That was huge. But now you've got this shroud hanging over the life of Joe Paterno, and it's still out there. I mean, you've got all these people offering condolences, and now people are, I'm sure, at the university scrambling to figure out what's the appropriate way to honor Paterno's legacy. What are they going to do? Look at the timing of this thing. He was there forever and a day, and then was dumped. I mean, they dumped him. So what do they do to honor him? And under normal circumstances, this would be such a big deal on that campus, and it is for a lot of people, but the school itself would have all kinds of people in. They would do a huge ceremony. They would quickly name scholarships after him or do some other such thing. There are already things that the Paterno family has given money to. You know, this guy was a fixture on this campus, and now they've got to navigate through these rough waters after his death. So dead at the age of 85 years old. Here's what a couple former players had to say about Paterno. You might recognize their names. If you're a football fan, certainly you will. But it's Kajana Carter and Brandon Noble.
Since I've been at the university and in my years after, I've been pretty close to the family. I've been real close to Jay and Scott and Mrs. Paterno. Every time I come back, I always go see them. And it's, just right now, it's just a very tough time for me because not only did I lose my coach, but I lost a great mentor.
I think the big thing is, just being a man. And that's what Joe Paterno wanted us all to be. He wanted us to come in there at 18 and walk out the door at 22 with a degree in your hand and a better man than you were when you walked in.
And here's what some people had to say on the street in and around Happy Valley about Paterno.
Whether you are like a college football fan, anything you know about Penn State, you know about Joe Paterno. And like, he had a great impact on this community, on this campus, on the world. And it's just, like, so sad that he had to go, and then even more sad in the way he went.
Truthfully, I think broken heart. I think Joe died of a broken heart. I just don't think he had it in him to fight just because of the past couple months. That's my feelings.
We're really going to miss him and wish the best for his family and hope that we continue to think about him and all the great things he did for this community and this school.
I don't know what else to say other than it's just tragic. It's tragic. I mean, 99% of... his life has been good and solid, and it's really sad.
It is tragic. It is sad, no question about it, but you still have to remember what's going on at that school and the haze of the sexual abuse, the crazy stories of Jerry Sandusky, and ultimately what comes out in a court of law. If you remember, his son, Scott Paterno, said he was just absolutely distraught over the sex abuse scandal. And he did an interview with the Washington Post that was published a couple of weeks ago where he said that he felt inadequate to deal with the allegations. In fact, the exact quote is, and we had it on the air, "I don't know exactly how to handle it, and I was afraid to do something that might jeopardize what the university procedure was. So I backed away and turned it over to some other people. People I thought would have a little more expertise than I did it didn't work out that way, which is true. One thing that I think people do forget is he did push it up the chain immediately, but then there was no follow-up, and that's the thing. And Sandusky was allowed to roll all around that university, have an office right there on campus, certainly dealt with Paterno, saw them, said hello, all that kind of stuff. You know, this is a guy, his assistant coach, who, remember, faces 50 counts, more than 50 counts, involving sexual acts with 10 boys since 1994, and he's pled not guilty. So the academic reputation, I think, is huge for what Paterno's legacy would be. You can't deny that. He had a very high standard at the school. He preached to these guys that he had that they had to be men and they had to be work hard and had to have clean competitions when they went out there, and he left an impact on many lives. But at the end of his life, there was this horrible scandal. So he's got 5 kids, 17 grandchildren, and all these different teams of guys that he worked with. And the family, at this point, they were smart. They got ahead of this, and they said, you know, just in lieu of flowers and gifts, because they know they're going to get an avalanche of them, that they're telling people just to donate to Special Olympics or to another charity that was a big one at Penn State. It was called the Penn State Fond. It was a dance marathon thing that they did to raise money, and that was all part of the Special Olympics thing as well. But I think that school is going to really have to sit and think about this long and hard as to what they'll do to recognize the Paterno passing, other than a statement, and maybe that's what they'll do. Maybe they'll just release a statement and not do much more. I mean, that's the question. What do you do? This is a weird, it's a weird zone for them to be in, because that happened. It actually broke in November, and here we are at the end of January, but you still have to say, and he admitted it himself, that he was sorry that he didn't do more. So you think of the people in and around the university who are furious over what happened with Sandusky, and then you think of his legacy, and I say they're going to have to acknowledge it some way, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's just they continue the scholarships, because the Paterno family, I'm sure, will continue to give that money, and just maybe skip a beat over it until next football season and then do something there, because the Sandusky thing will be further down the line, and they will have, hopefully by that time they should, go through court, and then we'll see what happens. All right, we're going to bounce back to some politics. What's up with the log jam in Washington? I had a conversation with Bob Edgar. He's the president and CEO of something called Common Cause, and he has some interesting things to say about bipartisan politics. Stay with us.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S., unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Long Range Patrol Ration Entrees. If you know survival, you know LRPs are the undisputed king of military rations. Hands down, the best for your bug out bag or survival pack. To go farther, faster, and carry more food, there's nothing better than a brick pack LRP cold weather ration entree. Nothing. Now, the freeze-dry guy is offering a limited-time deal on thousands of fresh LRP entrees. We're talking a menu of tasty and nutritious beef stew, chicken and rice, chili mac with beef, spaghetti and meat sauce with 20 entrees per case. These fresh 2011 LRPs are U.S. government contract overruns, perfect for long-term storage. But they're going fast at freezedryguy.com. Far superior to MREs, long-range patrol entrees are about a third the weight of an MRE, with about a third more meat than the finest commercial freeze-dried entrees. Ask about multi-case discounts and free shipping when you call 866-404-3663 today. That's 866-404-3663 or freezedryguy.com, your source for survival food in an uncertain world.
Have you ever seen a U.S. postage stamp featuring Abraham Lincoln, Ben Franklin, or George Washington? If you're into stamp collecting, you know it's a fun, affordable hobby. America's leading stamp dealer is the Mystic Stamp Company, and they want you to have their free 140-page color catalog. Go to MysticStampAd.com, the website of the Mystic Stamp Company, serving stamp collectors since 1923. Mystic Stamp is well known in the industry for its experience, superior customer service, and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. Go to MysticStampAd.com to request your free 140-page U.S. stamp color catalog, packed with collecting tips, special offers, color photos, and over 4,600 available stamps. Call 800-433-7811 or go to MysticStampAd.com. That's 800-433-7811 and ask for your free U.S. stamp catalog or MysticStampAd.com. Mystic Stamp Company, America's leading stamp dealer.
Republicans roll on because, as I spelled out at the beginning of this, and all of you know, if you're paid attention, that in Iowa, now Rick Santorum gets credit for the Iowa caucus. New Hampshire goes to Mitt Romney, and South Carolina just went to Newt Gingrich. So it looks like this process could be a lot longer than a lot of us had anticipated. And all the Romney people, the usual people in the Republican Party who are so-called kingmakers, are not going to get their king right away if, in fact, it's going to be Mitt Romney. So you've got Florida on the 31st of this month. Then you hop into February and you have Nevada, which is a caucus, on the 4th. Then in Maine, same thing. You have the 7th of February, we have Colorado, Minnesota, and Missouri. Then you go to, on the 28th, Arizona, Michigan. And then you start to maneuver around till you get till you get to Super Tuesday, which is a whole bunch of states. Alaska has a caucus. Georgia has a primary. Idaho has a caucus. Massachusetts a primary. North Dakota a caucus. Ohio a primary. Oklahoma a primary. Tennessee a primary. Virginia and Vermont also have primaries as well. And I thought Super Tuesday would be D-Day. Maybe it still is. But this, if it played all the way out, then you would go all the way through May and June. The very last primary is Utah of all the states. and that's the 26th. And remember, then you have the Republican convention, which is at the end of August. So maybe this will be more interesting than a lot of people thought, including myself, because really the Mitt Romney party train seemed like it was on the rails, even if it's not the choice that people wanted. Remember, there was definitely, and there definitely is, a movement of anybody but Romney. Anybody but Romney, but yet it just seemed like it was going to be this guy. He's hanging around in the polls, hanging around. But he's got some work to do, including releasing his taxes, because that's ridiculous. How wealthy is he? We know that he owns a chunk of money. So just release them. If everyone's pressuring you, why make it this magical, mystical thing and say, I'm going to wait till April, forget it. Then release back ones and then release your current ones in April. I don't know. To me, it just seems stupid. At this point, it doesn't make any sense. And if I were his campaign manager, I would just let it flow. I got nothing to hide. So, okay, you asked for it. We put the pen to paper, and here you go. Because he gives a lot of money to charity, and not just Mormon causes, so they can certainly point that out if they choose to do that, right? The big thing that all of us are sick of, no matter whatever you profess to label yourself as, is we're tired of the nonsense out of Washington. Do we really feel like we're getting great representation? I mean, we live in the best country on the face of the earth. I still believe that. And we don't want to see our democracy go down in flames. We believe in it so much that we foisted it on other people because we think they should have free elections. I mean, we could question some of the things that are happening at the polling places, which I don't understand that it's not uniform, but regardless, we got a great system when it works. So what's happened? Why isn't there more conversation between the Republicans and the Democrats? Isn't there some give and take at all? It certainly doesn't seem that way. So when I was in Washington, I had a chance to sit down with Bob Edgar. I mentioned this. He's now with Common Cause, and the idea there is they're trying to – the idea behind Common Cause is holding people accountable. It's really the money thing, the big money thing, electing so many people that way. And here's a guy who was a congressman from Pennsylvania right on the heels of Watergate, and he talks about that and the log jam in Washington.
The 75 Democrats came in, and the first thing we did is we threw out five senior Democrats who were committee chairs. Remember, Wilbur Mills had fallen into the tidal basin. Well, he and four other committee chairs lost their chairmanships simply by the fact that they were appointed by seniority. The second thing we did is we shut down the Vietnam War. And that was not done just by Democrats. That was done by Democrats and Republicans saying enough is enough. We controlled the money that was going to the war, so we shut down the Vietnam War. The third thing we did is we recognized, because we were lining up at the gas station, that we had to get off of the fossil fuel oil bandwagon. We passed the first energy bill. We put in place restrictions on how many miles per gallon we needed to have in our automobiles. We moved from 15 miles a gallon to 27 miles per gallon. Now, over the last period, many conservatives, both Democrats and Republicans, have come in and whittled against some of the reforms that were put in place. So we're at a time, it's a pendulum swinging back and forth, that we really need to take back democracy. We need to encourage the election of moderate Republicans. We need to have people once elected not signing these silly pledges where they sign their life away before they actually think. And we need to go back and read some of the Federalist Papers where our founding fathers were intent on having a citizens' Congress.
Sure, you can agree to disagree, but we can all go to the pub afterwards.
Exactly. Well, and some of us who don't drink, we can go and have a cup of coffee together at Starbucks or Seattle Coffee or whatever. You know, what I am so frustrated at is when I hear things like a senator saying, our only mission is to defeat the incumbent president. That just drives me nuts. Or to have someone take to a press conference and say, I'm not going to support this bill because it's been thought of by someone from the other party. We need to put that stuff aside. the American public is just fed up. And I actually think, and I've shared this with staff at the White House, I've shared it with any politician who will listen, what was unique in 1974 when I got elected by accident was that good government was good politics. And I think there has been so much corrosion of the system and so much feeling that Washington is broken that the candidates in either party who run on reasonable and honest reform and good government will find that that's good politics. I think we may even see this year incumbents in both parties who think they're safe lose office because people are fed up with the way Washington has stumbled into this partisan divide.
Yeah, and the partisan divide, that's got to end. It does. If we're really in this two-party system and there is a push for the third party, you know, I always say that it hasn't happened at this point. There is a movement afoot for that in a couple of different ways. But still, at this point, you got the Democrats, you got the Republicans. And if this is the system and this is how we're working it, then something has to give. Because you just can't simply be at a Sadie Hawkins dance and never meet in between. Yeah, if I'm going to make a comparison, if everyone's going to stand against the wall, stand their ground, and never figure out a way to work together on some very serious issues, we have serious problems in this country, things that need to be solved, things that need to be worked on, and it's time for the games to be over. And so we got to elect people that are willing to do that when they go to Washington. It doesn't mean you have to constantly compromise the core of your ideology, but it means that there has to be a way to find some common ground that's called give and take. It's like when you make contracts. No contract is worth the paper it's written on if each side doesn't get a little bit of something. And if you have a contract that's one-sided and you're the victim of the one-sidedness, then you're a fool because you should never put your name to anything that puts you in danger, you at risk, and you get nothing as a result of that. That's a bad business beat. So this is a bad, nasty piece of business that we're going through in Washington. And I, for one, think that guys like Bob Edgar, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, they need to keep telling these other people that are there, listen, this is what you got to do. We get that you want to stand on your principles, and you shouldn't really have to compromise the core of your principles, but there have to be things that, and there has to be ways that you can meet somewhere on some of these things, whether we're talking about payroll tax, whether we're talking about the seriousness of jobs, and more importantly, we keep going back to money. So the deficit, where you're at $17 trillion, that's just not acceptable. That is sinking us in the end and for future generations. So why aren't we working on that? Why aren't the people in Washington figuring out the things that absolutely they can cut, things that people agree on, things that can be reworked, auditing the departments in the federal government, and in the different layers? That's what has to happen. That's it in a nutshell. Because this is the time for romper room is done. The time for games and maneuvering is over. We need people that are in Washington that can work with other people. That, you know, you might play for one team, the other people play for the other team, but somehow, some way at the end of this thing, it's like anybody who truly understands what sports is about, and they're good sports, and they know what it's like to compete hard and fight hard for what they believe in, but at the end of the day, they can shake hands. At the end of the contest, you shake hands in the middle of the field, on the middle of the ice, on the middle of the hardwoods. I mean, at this point, you know, there's no time being spent in Washington, and there's, even among the party members themselves, there's not enough conversation. So, coming up next on America Tonight, we're going to tell you about Gabby Giffords, who decided that it was time to step away from her job for now anyway because of her recovery from the wounds that she suffered after that assassination attempt. So we're going to let you hear what Gabby Giffords had to say, plus some other rather odds and ends going on around the country. Hang with us.
Take charge of your health. Get all-natural, innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, like Lose and Snooze. Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all-natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. Spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com. Or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Folks, have you lost your power and wanted to simply flip a switch to get the lights back on? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear, because there's never been a better time to get ready for the winter power outages ahead. Here's why. Solar power generators are now available from our friends at Solutions from Science, one of our oldest sponsors. Their emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. Unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running quietly in your own home. Whether it's ice storms, brownouts, or blackouts, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. When the power goes out this winter, you'll be ready with a solar power generator from Solutions from Science. Go to MySolarBackup.com for more information. That's MySolarBackup.com or call 877-327-0365.
And ends here, including this was big. It happened over the weekend. You might have missed this if you were chilling and watching some of the football games and focusing on other things, but and worried about what was happening in South Carolina, perhaps. Gabby Giffords decided to resign from Congress, and it makes sense if you think about the kind of recovery she's had to go through. It's amazing how far she's come. So she announced through her website that this was it. She was going to take this week to say goodbye. She's, of course, recuperating from the brain injury she suffered when she was shot at point blank range about a year ago, just over a year ago. And, you know, she says she can't change what happened in the past, and you know, that she's got to move forward and that kind of stuff. I think she'll be back in some way, shape, or form. How, I don't know. But she's going to submit a letter of resignation during the week to the House Speaker John Boehner and Arizona Governor Jan Brewer. Take a listen.
I will return, and we will work together for Arizona and this great country to do what is best for Arizona. I will step down this week.
Yeah, it's a shame. What happens now, if you're wondering, when they get the letter of resignation, within about 72 hours of getting that, they'll call a primary election probably in April, and then the political parties would have time to pick their candidates. And she represented the 8th Congressional District seat that was hers. So then they'll have a general election probably in June. After that, after the candidates are chosen, then the winner would go to Congress for the rest of the term. Gifford's term ends in January of 2013. And, you know, the key thing here is that it's pretty miraculous how far that she's come. And over the next couple of years, the kind of strides, the kind of work she'd have to do, there's no way she would be able to focus on what's happening in, you know, in the day-to-day stuff that you have to work with on the Hill. So, unfortunately, her life took a different turn once Jared Lee Loeffner, that idiot, that's not even a strong enough word, decided that he was going to shoot up the event that she was holding that included killing 6 people and wounding 13 other people, including Gifford. So she needs to focus on her recovery, and it makes it impossible to try to split those two, I believe. So that officially will happen this week in Washington. And on from Giffords to a couple of said other odds and ends, something else that has captivated most of us. I like to say that, you know, it's about the buzz in your backyard. That's what we're talking about on America Tonight. But one of the things that people are talking about around this country, everywhere I go, I've heard this conversation. I was just traveling, as you know, from Washington, D.C. and back, and this was a conversation I had with a cab driver. This is a conversation I had with somebody at dinner, besides the usual political stuff, is what was going on with the Costa Concordia, that disaster. You still see the lame ship on its side close to shore. And now they found a 13th body. They're still trying to search and rescue. They're still trying to do that. And they're just finding bodies. So they have the 13th confirmed victim of that wreck that happened on January 13th. And they're just, I mean, they're just trying to pull up bodies. That's what they're doing. Sadly, the last body they found, and this is typical of what's happening now, the person was wearing a life jacket. So 19 people are still missing since the ship smashed into the rocks in the shallow waters off the coast of Tuscany. Just a beautiful area, and it's shocking and sad. And what's going to happen afterwards is going to be interesting. What happens with the lawsuits, what happens with the captain ultimately. And see, I think some people, especially some of the older people, were trying to get off, and then they got trapped as the boat was sinking, as it was flipping over, I guess, because this woman was obviously trying to get out. She had the life jacket on, and she was in part of the ship that was underwater. And I think that's probably where they're going to find more of these people. But what's also sad is now there's an urgent push because of the environmental problems that are happening there. Can you imagine? This is like a coffin for some people. It's sick. It's like the reincarnation in a different way of the Titanic, because we're not talking about an iceberg, but we're talking about rocks, and the weather and the conditions are different on the rescuing, and the amount of people. But you're still talking about people who have loved ones in other places, their bodies stuck somewhere in this wreckage. So while that's going on and they're worrying about that, they're worrying about the leak of the fuel and what that's doing to the area and how daunting that task is. Because every time I wondered about this, they go down, you got these divers, and when they go down, they're searching these cabins, but they say it takes about 45 minutes to search every cabin, and of course, it's probably dark, so they have to use cameras, and they have a whole bunch of divers in there doing that. They had 1,500 cabins on this ship. Now, some of them aren't in the water. Some of them are on that upper part, but then a ton of them are underwater. So they've had a few things they're worried about with the leaks, but they haven't had the massive leak that they're worried about, because they got 2,400 tons of engine oil on board that ship. Of that fuel. They're trying to figure out a way to remove the fuel. And once they get the go-ahead, they're going to do that. You know, they have these booms. They were smart to do this. At least they did this almost immediately. They put booms around the ship to stop that spread of the oil, because they, they knew. People started to talk about that immediately. It's such a small, small town where they are right now. And it's crazy. You've got Carnival Cruise, who ultimately is the owner of this ship, Costa Cruises. And who's going to be responsible? I mean, in the past, who would you think would be responsible for this? You have this Schettino, who is the captain, Francesco Schettino, who's under house arrest, has possible charges of manslaughter, shipwreck, abandoning ship. I mean, they just need to throw this guy away. Are you kidding? What was he thinking? And every time you hear a story, it's some other crazy thing. Oh, he was chasing some cute Russian blonde on the ship that they were having dinner. He was worried about getting his dinner, and she was a hostess on board and all this other stuff. Then he got off of the boat, and then they told him to get back on the boat. He just abandoned ship, as did some other people that weren't helping anybody get off the ship. It was sort of every man for themselves. So much for what you're supposed to do when you're the captain. Isn't the captain supposed to go down with the ship? Oh, so now he's lawyered up and saying, wait till you have all the facts. When you get all the facts, then you can judge as to what happened. And did he order the dinner for himself and a woman an hour after the collision? Because that's the thing that we kept hearing. And that he, you know, left the ship first, then came back. And why was it there? And All those other details. But the key thing that people are talking about is this is affect Americans from going on cruises. This is make you a little hinky about jumping on a cruise where you're spending, hey, even if you're getting a good deal, at least a couple grand. If it's a short cruise out of Miami or wherever it is, does it make you kind of blink or think twice about the people they're hiring and putting on the boats and how safe you are? How safe are you when you go to these foreign countries and get on the ship, for example, like in Italy? 4,200 people were on board that ship when it hit those rocks. 3,200 passengers, 1,000 crew members, a lot of the crew just left. All right, I got to leave. Bye. You hear those stories, and you see some of that video that people took. I'd be worried. I have to be honest. I'm not a cruise person anyway, but it makes me even more, I don't want to go on a cruise. It makes me think, well, I don't want to go on a cruise. A floating coffin, the possibilities of the things that have been happening on these ships. And I'm sure somebody's listening to me and saying, oh, that's ridiculous. You could get hit by a car easier than you could drown on one of these ships. But it's the people that you're putting your life into the hands of, do you trust them? I'll say the one thing, and I think I said this on a previous show, I would definitely look for all the ways to get off that ship should something happen. Where's the closest lifeboat? Where can I go for help? Can I really dive off the deck that I'm on and feel like I might be able to survive once I get in the water and I have my life vest on? How fast can I get off the ship? You have to ask yourself those kind of questions. The safety things. Maybe they'll emphasize that a little more. You never know. We'll be right back.